good to be true, or I haven't come in the light of this thing yet, or I just don't understand. And I found out later it was true, you know. I know God's word is true, everything else is true. So coming in number one, and, but, you know, I just didn't understand it, so I studied this thing out, and I read a lot of, you know, get on the computer, and a lot of different interpretations of the Bible, but this Jewish Bible I found, it explained it to me, and I'm going to share it with you this morning. I'm going to share a story with you about this old boy I used to work with, Tim. He was a few years younger than I was, and he come to work for us, and he worked in a cabinet shop. And this old boy you talking about can make a cut, put something together, and perfect. I mean, just he can make a perfect cut on stuff. But one thing about Tim, if he'll sweep this floor up, and he'd sweep it all back there, he'd just leave it in a pile, and he wouldn't pick the pile up. I mean, he'd just sweep. I mean, it'd be perfect. He wouldn't complete a job. I mean, he'd do perfect work, but he just never would complete a job. And even in his personal life, he'd do things and customize stuff, have, you know, some of his stuff customized, and he'd get about halfway through with it, and he'd just quit. I never did understand everybody. But we'll read something in Scripture here, and we'll go from there. This is Psalm 138. It says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise to thee. You know, and what that referring there, before the false gods, you know, before the devil, I'm going to sing, you know, praise God. Not that there's many gods, but, you know. It says, I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. You know, we do. When we hear, you know, words, you know, you spoke, you know, we just praise God, you know. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I got to think about worship shows, how they, you know, they start singing about the Lord and his glory. And, you know, we just, you know, we do that. We support them. But the Lord is on high, yet he has respects unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth from afar off. You know, there he is, creator of heaven and earth. But yet he loves us, don't he?
Mm-hmm.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. But this is the part I really didn't comprehend until I got studying now. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thy hand. But it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And I got thinking on that, thinking on that. I said, well, we don't live in a perfect world. Because I can't, you know, nobody lives a perfect life, you know, because of sin, you know. But it says he will perfect. Well, anyway, in this Jewish version, it says he will bring to completeness that which concerns me.
That English word could be used perfect too.
Yeah.
Instead of using perfect, but I like the English you put down it. But it can also be perfect, which is what the Jewish interpretation is. Mm-hmm. It's got two words.
And, you know, I was listening to Joseph Prince teach something about the rapture of the church this week.
Oh,
man.
No.
And you talking about making you want to jump about that high. But, you know, it says he will perfect that concern to me. But, you know, I got to think about the glorified body.
Yeah.
When?
Yep.
Even though, you know, those guys have went home beating the Lord is still not through with them.
Mm-hmm.
They still not have received their glorified body.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was thinking, you know, this glorified body, I got to think I would energize a bunny. That'd be about like comparing him to the power plant down here at West Jefferson. I mean, there's going to be, I mean, a glorified body. And you know, Scripture tells us that all wisdom and knowledge is in the Lord, you know, it's mm-hmm. treasure hidden. But, you know, in the ages to come, the time to come, we don't have to have this body to, you know, right now if somebody has offered us a trip to go climb the highest mountain over in, you mm-hmm. know, China, wherever it's at, we'd probably pass on it, you know, because mm-hmm. the bodies can't do it. Mm-hmm.
No, it can't.
We just ain't there yet. We say, hey, y'all gonna keep that trip. But you know, this glorified body, we're going to be going and yes. learning, you know, all the wisdom and the knowledge of God, and we're going to have that glorified body. And I got to think of another angle a little bit. You know, Brother Monty, you know, he taught us, you know, 70, you know, interpretations of Scriptures. And I got to thinking about the Lord, you know, Miss Mary. You know, he takes us, the Lord's come back for a glorious church.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, without spot or wrinkle. I got thinking kind of on that. I said, well, you know, without spot or wrinkle, that kind of contains to the body, don't it? Mm-hmm. You know, I got those spots on my hand now, the older I get, and wrinkles. But I got thinking about he's come back for a glorious church. Because, you know, and when the trump sounds, you know, we'll get that glorious body. It will be a glorious church. And, you know, but you can think all different angles, but what I'm driving at, guys, we ain't seen nothing yet.
I know.
No. We ain't seen nothing yet.
No.
This glorious body, man, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward, and I'm thankful for it. You know, and write down things was thankful for. You know, I'm thank the Lord of those that went before us.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're there in his presence, but, you know, we can just thank God for his promise.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It just ain't sitting on a cloud out there, guys. Yeah. It's going to be something.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're gone before us. They're in his presence. The things mm-hmm. that we're reading about, they are actually experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to read about it no more. They can visually see
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And although they don't have their glory body, he has suited them up with the spirit that mm-hmm. they can come before him, that they can live in that heavenly atmosphere
mm-hmm.
at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
then they will receive a body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he got them suited up. Y'all know what? David, you tipping over in my lesson. Y'all know I am about people that tips over into my lesson. You got over in there.
The way I was saying it is...
Turn me on. Turn me on. I had told him, don't turn me on. Now I'm telling him, turn me on. Okay. Today's lesson is going to be taken from Isaiah 40th. Chapter, the 28th through the 31st verse. And we're going to talk about the way of the eagle, because the eagle, that bird was designed to have characteristics of who we are in Christ. And we're going to do a little study on that. Let's, Isaiah 40, 28 through 31st. Let's talk some a little bit about the eagle before I start on that. One of the things Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, he says, there's three things that really amazes me. It really gets to me. It really amazes me how this... and then he said it's a fourth thing. Now, one of the three things he said, it was the way of an eagle in the air. how an eagle flies in the air. Isaiah 40:28-31. How an eagle takes its wings and fly in the air. Now, we don't study the eagle a whole lot because we're not people that are outside a whole lot. But in the time that Isaiah wrote this, those people, that culture really was into eagles because they saw that the eagle was the mighty bird of the air. There's nobody like the eagle in the air. There's three or four things we want to take away from this teaching. The strength that an eagle has in his wings, the vision, his eyesight, and then also we want to talk about how he behaves in the air and how he has no fear. And that's the bird God has taken to describe the people of God. You know, God is so good and so merciful to us. The eagles is something that we can see on earth to give us a heavenly vision of ourselves. And one of the things we're going to learn about the eagle is the only bird that can go into the heaven. Now, though he's on earth, he's not earthbound. He's the only one that can go up into the heaven. Look the sun in his face. No sunglasses, no nothing. But go all the way up to the sun and look into the face of the sun. The only bird that can go into the heavens like that. And I'm going to tell y'all, child of God, we have been called into the heavens. We can go to the heaven. He said we are seated where? Where is our seat? In heavenly places. And also in that book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it says these principalities and power, they're in heavenly places. So one preacher stopped and he said, oh my God, the devil is in heaven. I said, the devil is a lie. He's not in the same realm of heaven that I am. There's three parts of the heaven. He's not in that heaven where Jesus is. That's where we are seated with him in heavenly places. We can be there with him, and that's not the place Satan is located. Okay, let's get into our lesson. Let's read it. Let me turn to it. Isaiah 40 and 28. You know, this 40th chapter of Isaiah was written to bring comfort. Let me give you a backdrop of the people, what they were faced with during that day and time. They were weary. They were about to faint. They had no hope. The Assyrians were was doing whatever they wanted. I mean, all around them, they could see nothing but destruction, nothing but misery. And this is a time of the year, although, you know, you can, a time of year we're about to enter in is joy and all that. But some people are going to get so stressed out. They're going to get so weary. It's a season. Sometime, if you're not careful, would take you away from the things of God. And you're thinking, this is Christmas. And when I look around at Christmas and I see everything out but Jesus, I said, they left the main thing out. They got the Santa Claus. They got the tree. They got, everything. But I said, what's missing in this picture? Jesus. And if you're not careful, this time of the year stress you out, trying to prepare for people and things and just a lot of stress and weariness, you know, that you may hear even on Some people say, I can't watch the news. It just weary me. It just, you know, you don't even have to leave home, you know, and so many things that we hear that are happening, you know, and people afraid to get out and get them because they hear so much. In this day and time, these people, they were experiencing a whole lot of things that some of it they had brought upon their own self, disobedient to God. They had disobeyed God. But here, the prophet that's talking about eagles today, he is known as the what? Eagle-eyed prophet. He was able to see down through 42 generations. He said, unto us. Just like he was there. He said, unto us. Not just unto. He said, unto us. Me too. He said, a child is born. He saw the birth of Jesus. And he said, the government going to be on his shoulder. I see him bringing back in government. Because if this child had been born and the son had been given and died and didn't bring back in government. You see what government is. Everybody look at me and see what. Everybody look here and see where government is. Government was where? On his shoulders. Government came by the way of the what? What?
Cross.
See, some people say they're waiting on his government to be set up. And David, yes, that's another thing that would happen. But when he brought it in, he brought in government by way of the cross on his shoulder. It wasn't just my sin, it was government coming in too. Because if he hadn't brought back in government that I couldn't reign and rule over my enemy, I still would be a defeated person. But he brought back in government. He said, I brought it in on, Isaiah said, it was coming in on his shoulders. Government. I couldn't be an ambassador here if he hadn't have brought it back in on his shoulders. Government was in the Garden of Eden, he said, and have dominion. You know. And so he had to bring it back because the enemy got into government. And we call him the eagle eye prophet because he's seen the suffering savior. He's seen all this. I mean, way before his happening. Now, Paul in the 11th chapter of Acts, the 11th chapter of Hebrew like this. He said they didn't even receive the promise. They didn't get a chance to see the promise. He said, but they embraced the promise like it was what? True. Yeah. They embraced it. They took it by faith. They didn't see it. Paul said in the 12th, he picked it up in the 12th. He said, we have received the promise that they died and didn't see it. But we see it, so now let us throw aside every weight in this sin that so easily beset us, and let us run. Okay, let's go back to the book of Isaiah 40, and let's start off at the 28th. Now, let's start at the 27th. Isaiah 40 and 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. You know, one thing Isaiah had to do, remind them who they were. You're going under the name of Jacob. You're going under the name of Israel. You know, it's just like some people that come to church. They want, you know. But he said, you're going under that name, but you're not believing. You're not knowing. You're not doing. You're not obeying. And you got a wrong perceptive of the God. You know, one thing about God, through every generation, he always introduced himself. He always say, To every generation, he would introduce himself, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He would introduce himself to generation. And here Isaiah is reminding the people of the God of Jacob and O Israel, because that was the generation for that time. And he began to give them the right view of God, or the right perspective of God. Sometimes even us being children of God, we lose the right view or the right perspective of God, who God is, his name, his nature. He said in the 28th verse, he asked this question, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God," that's one of God's names, "the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding." Now he was letting them know who God was, giving them the right perspective of God. You can't worship, you can't serve God until you get the right perspective, the right view of God. You know, one of the ladies that I was dealing with, she said, "I have a wrong view of God. Because my father, when I was a child, he used to call me." She didn't live with the father, but he would call and tell her, "I'm going to come by and get you for the weekend." And she said, "I would sit on that walk side, packed and ready and looking for my father. And he never would show up." She said, "Weekend after weekend, I would sit there hoping, wishing, wondering, would this be a time that he would show up and come get me? Because he promised it so well." And so her view of God was that way, the way she had of a natural father. And I said, "Honey, you're going to have to change your perspective." I said, "Yeah, God give us earthly fathers to show us." I said, "But some of these fathers do not show you of earthly fathers." I said, "Change your perspective of God, who he is and what he's done, and your relationship and fellowship with him." I was trying to bring her into a fellowship with him, a relationship. She already had the relationship. She was a child of God. She accepted him as his savior and all this and all these good things. But the fellowship wasn't there, because she had the wrong perspective, the wrong view. And so we see here that Isaiah is changing their views. He letting them know, God don't get weary. You weary, but God don't get weary. You're about to faint, but God never faints. And the 29th verse says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that has no might," what does he do?
He increases
the strength. And he began to tell them about, even the young shall faint and be weary. It doesn't matter how young you are and how strong you think you are. In this walk of life, the word of God said, in this life you will have tribulation. Tribulation will be. And he said, even if you're young, even if you're a young man. But he said, I'm not going to leave you there. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And, you know, this waiting is not like this young girl was waiting for her daddy to come. We're not talking about waiting like that. Most people think that's what this scripture is really saying, if you'll just wait like that. Just wait on him. He'll come someday. He may not come when you want him, but he'll, you know. And they're not talking about that kind of waiting. This is talking about ministering to the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
They that minister to the Lord. You're going to make an exchange there while you're ministering to the Lord. You know, we've been talking about ministering to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the prayer, praise, and worship. You know, the scripture says, in the word of God, man should always pray and not what?
Faint.
So that prayer helps you to not faint. It's not that you know, some folks, she was just sitting there, she wasn't doing nothing but sitting there waiting on her daddy, waiting for him to show up. And that's the way people, I'm just waiting on God. Well, Jesus done did it all. It's a finished work. So while you're waiting on him, wait on him and worship. Minister to him. And he won't let you outdo it. You get to minister to him, he's going to minister back to you. It's going to be such a great exchange. He says it's going to renew thy strength. Thou shalt mount up with wings as eagle. That's what we wanted to get to. Talking about the eagle. Like I said, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, that eagle, that way of the eagle in the air, my God, it amazes me just to watch him. He said you're going to have you're going to mount up with wings as an eagle. Now, one of the things that God told Moses in Exodus 19 chapter, he said, Moses, put these people in, remember how they came out of Egypt. He said, I brought them out on what? Eagle wings. Very good, brother Charles. I brought them out. We kind of study together. I brought them out on eagle wings. That's how they came out strong. Pharaoh's army was against them. They had a lot of things against them. Some of them wasn't in the best of health. But he said when they left out there, wasn't a feeble one.